From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
At the presence of God, we rejoice, glorifying the one who is parent of all orphans. In the presence of Jesus Christ, we listen to the voice who calls us to humbly serve others. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit, we speak, making God's love known to the world forsaken in our midst. O God, we gather together today to worship you. You are enthroned above the circle of the earth, exalted as King, as Lord, and yet you're also our friend and our brother. And we look to you for help and hope and strength. We open our hearts to you and our hearts to each other. And now we come praying that prayer which you taught us to pray, O Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's anthem is entitled, Fill Me Up, performed by the Senior Chancel Choir under the direction of Mrs. Stacy Frederick and featuring soloist Mrs. Nancy Lewis. Mrs. Mary Berger reads this morning's Old Testament lesson.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. The Lord chooses Abram. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your family, and your relatives, and go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. You will become famous and be a blessing to others. I will bless anyone who blesses you, but I will put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. Everyone on earth will be blessed because of you." Abram was 75 years old when the Lord told him to leave the city of Haran. He obeyed and left with his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions and slaves they had gotten while in Haran. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram went as far as the sacred tree of Moreh in a place called Shechem. The Canaanites were still living in the land at that time. But the Lord appeared to Abram and promised, "I will give you this land to your family forever." Abram then built an altar there for the Lord. Abram traveled to the hill country east of Bethel and camped between Bethel and Ai, where he built another altar and worshiped the Lord. Later, Abram started out toward the southern desert. This concludes the reading for today.
Our New Testament lesson today comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. I will begin reading at verse 4. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Listen now as the Reverend Andrew Lovins gives us his message entitled, "Why Church?"
It was several years ago now. I was doing a membership class on a Sunday morning, and several couples were gathered there seeking membership in the church. And after we had concluded one of the sessions, I was talking with a couple afterwards, and I asked them, just off the record, "What do you like about our church? Why do you want to join?" And they said, "Honestly, the main reason why we like this church is because it's a low-commitment church. You don't ask us for any money, and when we're not there for several weeks, you don't call us up and browbeat us for not being there. And that's why we really feel comfortable being part of this church, because it's a low-commitment church." And of course, they meant that as a compliment to me, but I left that day feeling really downhearted, because somewhere along the lines, there was miscommunication. And today I thought I would take some time to talk to you about biblically how God sees the church. And when I use the word church, I'm not talking about the building or the structure. I'm not talking about the pews or the carpet. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about we who are gathered here in this room. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. And never once in the New Testament does it refer to a building or a structure of any kind. It actually means the called out people of God, called out of the world, called away from sin, and called to gather together to worship the one true God who is made known to us through the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there are several different images that the Bible uses to give us a picture of the church. The Bible calls the church the family of God. It calls the church a spiritual fellowship. It calls the church the body of Christ, the hands, the feet, the eyes, the mouthpiece of Christ. One other image is it calls the church the bride of Christ. Think about that. We are the bride of Christ, which means that God isn't looking for a date. No, God is looking for a commitment from his people. And we are the church together. You can't do church all by yourself. That goes against the very definition of church, because we are the called out people of God, called to be together, to worship and give praise to God. Of course, there are several reasons why people say, "Well, I'm not interested in church anymore. I'm not really interested in attending or being part of a church." And one of the common reasons that I hear is, well, you know, the church is rather imperfect. You know, there are just a bunch of hypocrites in the church. You've probably heard that before. In fact, every time I go to a family reunion, everyone in my family, they know that I'm a minister. And so someone will get me off to the side, and I hear this kind of stuff all the time. They'll begin to tell me everything that they don't like about the church and why they don't go to church. And they'll talk about how they're jaded and how they're angry and how they're hurt and how they're disillusioned. And kindly, when they take a breath, I'll say, well, that's great. That is great that you are finally disillusioned by the church. And I can see their face, huh? Yeah, because what that means is that up until now, you've been living under an illusion. And now you finally see. Now you're living in actual reality. And then I remind them that yes, the church is the body of Christ. Yes, the church is the family of God. Yes, the church is the bride of Christ. But we're also a company of redeemed sinners gathered together. Why? Because we know how imperfect we really are. We know that we of all people need forgiveness and grace, and we need to learn the discipline of repentance in our life. And isn't it great that there's some place where we can go where people are just as imperfect and fallible as I am to receive the forgiveness of God? The truth is, there's only been one true Christian that has ever lived. And he came from heaven to earth and led a sinless life and died on the cross and rose again to grant us the forgiveness of sins. And now it's my responsibility to forgive you. And it's your responsibility to forgive me. For he who will not forgive breaks the bridge over which he must pass. The other day, I ran across an article in the newspaper written by a guy describing why he was giving up the church. And he writes in the paper, this local paper, I quit going to church this year. I just decided that listening to sermons week after week was a stupid thing to do. After all, I went to church for more than 30 years, and during my lifetime, I probably heard 5,000 sermons. I can only remember about 5 of them. What a waste of time. Signed, Bored and Busy. Well, there was a fury of letters written back to the newspaper. Some of them made the paper. All this discussion, some people agreeing with that editorial, other people disagreeing. But this one letter ended all discussion. I quit eating this year, thanks to Bored and Busy's insights. I decided that eating week after week was a stupid thing to do. After all, I have been eating for more than 40 years, and during my lifetime, I probably have eaten 5,000 meals, and I can only remember about 5 of them. What a waste of time. Signed, Starved and Stupid. The fact is, the church isn't here to meet our preferences or to live up to our expectations or always to even make us happy. No, the church exists for a very specific, pointed reason. And it helps us to understand why the church exists, for us to be willing to be the bride of Christ. And rather than just date God, actually be committed to the family of God that we have been birthed into through the Holy Spirit. The first purpose of the church, according to the Scriptures, is that we would gather together for worship. For worship. That's why we exist. In John chapter 4, Jesus enters into a discussion with a Samaritan woman who was despised. And Jesus said something to kind of ruffle her feathers a bit, and she started to feel a little bit nervous. And so she tried to change the topic of discussion, and she tried to get Jesus into a debate about the geography of worship. Where are we supposed to worship? What denomination is the true denomination? Which church is the true church? She tries to get Jesus sidetracked. But Jesus won't take the bait. He says, no. He says, ma'am, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kinds of worshipers the Father seeks. You see, God doesn't need us. God is a self-sufficient being. God doesn't need us. But there's one thing in Scripture that God seeks. You know what God seeks from us? God seeks our worship. And worship simply is giving our very best to God. The best of our time, the best of our talent, the best of our treasure, the very best. Why? Because He is the highest one, the holiest one, the exalted one. The one of whom the Scriptures say, He is love, He is all grace, He is just, He is truth. And so we gather together today as the church to give our Creator the worship that He deserves. It was Kierkegaard who wrote that when we worship before the audience of one. I love that because it means that ultimately worship isn't even for me or for you. No, we worship to bring God pleasure. And so that's the first reason why the church exists. It exists for worship. There's another reason why the church exists, according to the Scriptures, and that is the church exists for the Word. St. Peter said, "Crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." I love that. Because some people think, well, I'm a believer. Been there, done that. Why do I need to keep coming to church? I know what they're going to say. I've heard all of that before. Well, it's because you're never through. In fact, when you're through growing, you're through. And God says that I don't want you just to be a saved person. I don't want you to just be a Christian. I want you to be a growing Christian. And how do you grow as a Christian? By craving the pure milk of the Word so that you keep on growing in your spiritual life. Jesus said something similar to that. Remember, before He goes to the right hand of the Father, He gives a commission. He says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Trinity and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now notice what Jesus says. He doesn't say that our role is to get people saved. He doesn't say that. You know why? Because I can't save anybody, nor can you. He doesn't say that the role of the church is to open the doors and get as many people through the doors as possible and to get them converted. No. Conversion is not the goal or the end game. Discipleship is the goal. That we are to create lifelong learners of Jesus Christ, and that people keep on learning how to live the way that Jesus lived in His life. And how do we know when that has happened? How do we know when we're looking at a full-grown disciple of the Lord? How do we know when we are growing in our own relationship to God? Is it because that we can take a test and we can spit out all the right answers about the Trinity or about the deity of Jesus Christ? Is it because we can memorize some scripture verses or a creed or what have you? Well, that's what we do at school, right? We lecture and then we give a test. And if the student can give the right answer on the test, then we say, oh, you can pass on to the next grade. That is not what Jesus says. Jesus says that we know that you are a full-grown disciple of the Lord when you obey. When you obey the teachings of Jesus. When you obey His command to love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's why the church exists. It exists for worship, right? To give God our very best. Because God is our Creator and our Redeemer and the source of life and the source of all good things in our life. But we also exist in service to the Word, to evoke obedience in the lives of Jesus' disciples. And that's you and that's me. But there's another reason why the church exists. We exist to witness. Again, this comes from Jesus. Everything I'm telling you today comes from Jesus' own mouth. He says, now guys, he's talking to his disciples,
I'm getting ready to go away. But you're not going to be left as orphans. You're not going to be alone, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. Power to do what? Power to go out and be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Now, I know what we think when we hear the word witness. We think of some person, you know, in a white shirt and black pants, walking up to a door, knocking on the door and saying, "Hey, let me tell you about my church. Hey, would you read this brochure?" It happens to me all the time, for whatever reason. That's what we generally think of as a witness. Or we think about that guy we saw when we were visiting in Chicago or New York City, that strange, odd, you know, unbathed guy on the street corner waving a Bible in his hand and yelling at the top of his voice, "Jesus is coming, turn or burn." You know, that's typically how we think about giving witness. And let me just say this, that is one way to give witness or to bear witness. Don't criticize it. I actually know people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ through those kinds of methods. God will use anything. But there's another way to bear witness that I think that you would be more comfortable with, that I'm more comfortable with, and that's a quiet witness of deeds. Displaying through our attitude, through our moods, through our countenance, the love and the grace and the joy, the abundant life of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, each of us, we are called to show and to tell, to show people the love of God and to tell them about the source of that love. And here's what we need to understand as the church today. Right here, if I could boil it all down to you and put it in a bite-sized nugget, I would say this. We either evangelize or we fossilize. We evangelize or we fossilize. We witness or we wane, and we ultimately pass out of existence. It is our witness, you see, that unites us as a church. We're all very different here. All of us are very different. In fact, let's do this. At the count of three, if you would, I want you to shout out at the top of your voice the month that you were born in, okay? Now participate with me here today. One, two, three.
December.
Okay. At the count of three, I want you to shout out as loud as you can your favorite color. One, two, three.
Yellow.
Okay. At the count of three, I want you to shout out at the top of your voice your favorite sport. One, two, three.
Basketball.
Okay. At the count of three, I want you to shout out at the top of your voice the person you're voting for this November for President of the United States. One, two. No, I'm not going to do that. All right? But at the count of three, I want you to shout out at the top of your voice the name of your Savior. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Yeah. You see, when you just look at the church on the surface, you would think, well, why in the world do we even bother to get together? We're so different. We have different preferences. We have different politics. We don't see eye to eye about so many different things. Why do we get together on Sunday morning? Why? It's because we share the same Savior, who is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And it is our witness that unites us as the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and He is the head of the body. There was a lighthouse keeper who lived at the edge of the seacoast, a rocky seacoast. And he was given oil by the government to keep that lighthouse burning at night. And he was usually pretty faithful and diligent at it. But every now and then, someone who lived right around there would come to him, and they would ask him for some oil for legitimate reasons. One night, a woman comes to him, and she tells a sad story about how she needs oil to keep her home warm at night. And this lighthouse keeper, wanting to help her, gives her a little bit of his oil. Then another man comes at another time and he needs oil to lubricate a wheel. And so, a bleeding heart, the lighthouse keeper gives away a little bit more of his oil. Another person comes and they need oil to keep a lamp burning in their house at night. And so the lighthouse keeper doles out a little bit more oil. And the more he doles out, the more people keep coming to him with sad stories. And wanting to please everybody, he just keeps on giving away the oil more and more and more and more until finally the oil gets low, and finally one night it's completely empty. And on that night, there's a furious storm at sea, and the light has gone out. And because the light has gone out, many ships crash, and countless lives are lost because the light went out. Well, the authorities came to investigate, and they sat down with that lighthouse keeper, and they asked him, "Why would you do that? Why would you give away all of your oil?" And he said, "Well, because there were all these needs, and I was just trying to be helpful. I wasn't trying to get anybody hurt. I didn't mean to do it." And the authority said to him, "You were given oil for one purpose and one purpose alone, to keep that light burning." For me, that is where the church is at today. There are countless organizations and entities and people and groups, well-meaning people, groups that do good things, that are pulling and tugging at us constantly, saying, "Do this, go there, be a part of this, give to that." And we take our oil, our gifts, our time, our talent, our treasure, and we give it here and there and everywhere, and we're part of this group and that group. We're overcommitted to so many things in our life, to the extent that there's almost nothing left for the one thing that lasts forever. I think if Jesus were here today, which he is, by the way, he would say, "You need to remember who you are. You need to bear in mind the high opinion that I have of you as the church." He would say, "You are my body, the body of Christ. You are the family of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit." He would say, "You are my bride, the bride of Christ. I don't need a date. I need a commitment from you." And he would say to us, "If there's one thing that you need to do, you need to remember this." And I think he would grin from ear to ear, and he would say, "You are the light of the world, and I have put my light in you." But I think he would say to us, whatever you do, never, ever, ever, ever let that light go out, because it is the hope of the world. Let's pray. Oh God, there are so many things that compete for our allegiance. We have such a hard time saying no. Help us to remember who we are. Oh God, may we be mindful that we are the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. May we cease making the habit of breaking our appointments with God in order to keep our appointments with men. Help us, O God, to be crystal clear about why we exist as the church. You have called us your light. Help us to keep that light shining. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.